Happy to be out tonight. Let's all stand if you will. Let's just go before him in prayer as we start the service. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an honor and a privilege, Lord, it is to be here. Lord Jesus, we just love and appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, we feel your blessings all around us. Lord, regardless what happens in this old world, Lord, we know that you're with us. Lord, we praise your wonderful holy name, Lord, for being there with us, protecting, guiding, giving us your word. Lord, the lamp, Lord, unto our feet. We just appreciate it. Lord, just ask you to be with us this night. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Page 10, and only believe this little course been on my heart. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. Teach me, Lord, to wait, and down on my knees, till in your own good time, you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what I page 330 in the same book. I'll try to sing this together. We've been made more than conquerors. Amen. Trouble may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made your door. Don't ever be afraid. Amen. Don't ever give in. Don't let it bring you down. Amen. You don't have to worry anymore. Hallelujah. There's one that walks with us every day. Amen. Is always beside us. Knows what we have need of. Amen. Just a guiding hand each day. Amen. Page 330, or I'm sorry, 32 in our little capstone books. Little capstone loose leaves. Love this little course. I know the master of the wind. Hallelujah. My boat of life sails on the troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sails. But I have a when the breeze turns into a gale. The master of your winds.
Oh,
yes. Says, sometimes I soar like an eagle in the sky. Among the peaks, my soul can be found. Hallelujah. Seems like nothing can go wrong. Then an unexpected storm may drive me from those heights. But by his grace, it may bring me low, but it will never bring me down. Hallelujah. He is wonderful. He is merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Kevin Settles, would you take up the offering? Amen.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. Oh God, Lord, how we have seen many storms in our lives, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, it'd be impossible to control, Lord. Father, the master of the storm is in our hearts. We're so thankful for that, Lord. How we've seen your hand many times. I know in my life, Father, I'd be dashed upon the stone with your grace. You're so wonderful. Lord, bless this offering, Lord. May you use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, for thy purposes, Lord. And multiply it to meet the needs we ask. And bless those that can give. We ask in your precious holy name.
Yes. Amen. Just any day now, our Lord's returning. Amen. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, face time. Anybody have a need on their hearts? Yeah. We press our hand. Brother Dillon, would you take the request? Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative to be here again tonight and see again that that alone even is a great work of grace and mercy. But Lord, we can gather here with the right mind and right attitude, right desire, Lord, and right purpose of being here. Lord, it's a blessing, and we greatly appreciate it. And we've come before you now at this portion of service that as those that raised their hands, signifying they had a need, Lord, in their life. Now, Lord, we realize that you're the one that knows all things. You know every situation and every man and woman and young person's life and every desire they have for what they're asking for. You know the attitude they have, why they're asking what they're asking for. And Lord Jesus, if all that is lined up just Amen. Exactly like it's supposed to be, and everything's done according to the will of God, then Lord, we can ask and know that you'll give us the desire of our heart. If we ask without doubt, ask without condemnation, then Lord Jesus, we know that you'll give it to us. And Father, we lay those claims before you tonight that, Lord, whatever these people have need of, that you would grant it to them, Lord. And truly may it be for your glory and your honor, Father. May it not be for our own selfishness and our selfish ways, but, Lord, in a way that would please you and glorify you and your greatness, Lord, and your power. How we appreciate it now, Lord, and we believe that you'll do this even now. And we ask it in your glorious, precious name. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what a glorious name. And Father, the remainder of the service, may you get the glory of it. And may you bless our brother as he brings forth the word, Lord, and take control of his lips, his mind. And Father, may it also be exactly what you want done, what you want said. And Father, may you have the preeminence now in the remainder of all this service now. And we'll give you the glory for it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just any day now, the Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any hungry for his word?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We ask our brothers to go ahead and come and we'll sing that little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to
gathered one more time. We've just come, Lord, wanting to reach out to you. And Lord, just asking you to take some nugget of this precious scriptures, Lord, and to let it help me grow greater in Christ. And Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, may it just mean more to us as each day goes by. And Lord, may there be a greater hunger in our hearts and in our lives to be exactly what you wanted us to be. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word and upon our hearts as we hear it, Lord. And let it just find some good ground this evening, Lord, though it may be simple. But Lord, may it help us along the life's way. And we'll never fail to see, Lord, that you receive all of the glory and the honor for it. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you happy?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be able to gather in with saints of like precious faith, draw strength, worship the Lord, and indulge in his word, and see what he has for us this evening. Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to turn over to Ecclesiastes and read a portion of scripture here in the third chapter. Just a little thought in my own simple way. You know, God, we just do with what God gives us to do with. And, but it's his word, and if we just look into it, there's a lot of wonderful things. Amen. But in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I'm going to start there at the first verse. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, and a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? May the Lord bless him his word, and you may be seated. If we could just draw from that third chapter a little bit, that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. And you know, just wanted to speak a little bit tonight on that, you know, each and every one of us, there's a purpose in our life.
Yes, sir.
And there's a purpose to everything that happens. And though that may seem like a simple little phrase, maybe we leave here tonight just thinking about it a little bit more. And you know, and I'd like to read the definition to purpose. It's a very simple word. We probably all know it. But it says, the reason to which something is done or created or for which something exists. And as a verb, it's as one's intention or objective. And as you know, as we look at that and we realize that in this age in which we live, God sent a prophet to fulfill and to bring this word into to us to a greater understanding.
Amen.
Of what that purpose of God was.
Yes.
And you know, I want you to think about that. I would like to go back here and we're going to look at Moses just a little bit. Here in Exodus, we'll go to Exodus the second chapter. Amen, just to kind of gather an example. But you know, as we're turning, we look at nature, and if you go to Genesis in the very first chapter of the Bible, God shows us how he began to create, and he created the earth, and how he separated the waters, and how he put the sun in the sky, and the moon, and all of these things that God created and placed into its place for a purpose. The sun for a light in the day, the moon for a light in the night. These trees that grow, God placed them out there to grow, and some of them bear food, and but some of them create oxygen, and they all of it thriving to create life here for this earth. That God knew that you and I and all that's come before us and those that'll come after us will walk upon this earth as long as God sees fit. And every one of those items had a purpose for being created. You know, you may look at the gnat and wonder, I don't know why that God created a gnat. I may not know why God created a mosquito, or why God created a snake, or why he created a monkey, or why these different things, why he created certain things. But God had a purpose in creating everything that exists.
Yes,
and how, as we look at those things serving their purpose, we want to dig a little deeper. And God said he, in Romans the 8th chapter, I'll just read it real quick since it's a simple verse and you all know it by heart. Amen. real quick, just so I don't misquote it. We'll just read it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God had a purpose. And that purpose, each one of us has got a purpose. And if we're sitting here tonight, something has drawn us to find out a little bit more about what God's purpose was in our life. And you know, Moses was born for a purpose back here in the Old Testament, and we see God used him mightily. But I want you to notice here in the second chapter, book of Exodus, and there went a man at the house of Levi and took a wife, the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, there was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags of the river's brink. And her sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. And we realize here Satan, realizing God had a plan, and Satan rising up trying to raise up in that king, and he sent out the decree that all the men child should be killed. Trying to stop God's chosen plan. Satan's always interested in avoiding and making things come to naught. But I want you to look how Moses was hid. His family realizing that and how God protected a little child. Just think of that, taking your child, sticking it in a little basket, stick it out on a river. But they had something in their heart, and their testimony is written in Hebrews. By faith, it was revealed to them that he was a goodly child. And the scripture continued to speak of their act. And the sister stood afar off to it, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept and had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And we see this portion start of Moses' life and see how it, and then in the 11th verse, and it says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens. He looked on, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And he went out the second day. Behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them, him that did the wrong? Wherefore smitest thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendedst thou to kill me? Or thou to killest the Egyptian, as thou killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. And I want you to look at these circumstances that are happening here. All of Moses' life, circumstances taking place. But each time God had set him aside for a special purpose. And God was directing his pathway of life to make sure that God's purpose was achieved. Everything was working right in time. Nothing was out of time. It was working perfectly. And then when we get to the third chapter, he says, "And Moses kept the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, and by reasons of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, a large land, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And now therefore behold the cry of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the progression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I want you to look here. Moses got his direction. He, out of a burning bush, God spoke to him, caught his attention, and revealed to him what he was to do. But Moses had God's purpose was achieved through Moses. And as I said, his life went forth as a witness. that God had achieved what he wanted to do through Moses' life. And you can go into the book of Hebrews and read, by faith Moses, when he was come of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But oh my, look at the purpose for which he was called. Now each one of us, we've come here tonight and we've gathered in this building. And you know, and Brother Branham said something here in the message, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I'd like you to listen to how he broke this all out. And just kind of trying to drive home an example. He said, if we come home, let's see, he said, I think it's a wonderful time to think on the hopes that God has given us. Now we want to draw this. This is the paragraph 20. Into our mind that there is not one thing that can destroy us until the purpose of he who has created us has been fulfilled. There could be nothing. We are made for a purpose. This church was built for a purpose. This foundation was not dug and the cornerstone laid and the blocks laid into the building and the roof and the interior was not put here just to see if it could be done. It was put here for a purpose. Think about the simplicity of it, saints. It's everything we do in life, we do it for a purpose. Even in our natural life. Everything we go to do, there's a reason behind it. And you at home that live and not just accidentally put there, but somebody just waiting, your home was made for a purpose, to serve a purpose. If you did drive here this morning, here in your automobile, that automobile was not made just to see if it could be made. The materials was not wasted by man. It was put here for a purpose. And to serve a purpose. The clothing that you wear was not just to see if somebody could fashion something. It was for a purpose. The food that you eat was not grown on earth just to see it grow. It was made to serve a purpose. God did not have to just make a tree just to be a tree. He made a tree for a purpose. And God did not make you and I just to see if he could do it. He made us for a purpose. Therefore, there is a purpose for us all being here. You're not here just to be another human being. You are here because that God made you for some purpose, and you're not there just to eat the food that God grew. You're not here just to live in that house that man made, to wear clothing that someone fashioned. You are here for a specific purpose. No matter how little you are or how big you are, how important or how unimportant you are here to serve a purpose. Just as my finger is here for a purpose, my nail on my finger is for a purpose, my eyes, and every part of our bodies is to serve a purpose. And it was put here just to see what it could look like when it was put here. But it was put here to serve its purpose. It was God's divine plan to do so. And if we were put here for a purpose, then there is nothing can destroy us until God's purpose is fulfilled. Nothing can harm us until that purpose that God has put us here for has been made manifest. No matter how much trouble we have, how much heartaches or sorrows that we go through, all of these are reasons, and there's a reason for it. So as our pastor was mentioning Sunday, you can begin to see all that Job suffered was for a purpose. A testimony to you and I. His testimony is still speaking today. It's living forth. And God's word is laid out before us. And God sent a prophet in this age to refresh our minds and to bring back to our remembrance what this scripture said about today. That God would have a people, that he had a purpose and a hidden plan. And he sent that prophet to reveal that hidden plan that laid within these pages. And how that prophet came and he broke that word forth to us. And how each one of us, as we can look into those scriptures, we see that. Yes. And we see it laying there. And we see this, there's something drawing on us. A lot of times, you know, we felt the draw in our hearts. We felt this great pull. Maybe we didn't understand exactly what had happened to us. Some of us come from denominations. Some of us come out of the world at different times and move from church to church. But all the time, there's something drawing us, moving us here, moving us there. Amen. You know, I think of Brother Pitts. Brother Pitts just didn't come down here because Brother Pitts wanted to come sit with a bunch of hillbillies in church. But Brother Pitts, there was something drawing him to come here. God led his footpath here, and there's a purpose for him being here. Yes, now, only God knows exactly why. The same as you and I, as each one of us came and gathered in this building at a certain time and decided to say, this is going to be my home church. I'm going to attend here and listen to the word and see what God's got for me. God has a purpose in each person that he's drawn into this little building. Yes, and you can't sit here and say, well, I know what this and that. No, God has got a purpose for us being here. If there is something that's drawn you to come and to sit down and to listen, there's a purpose God's got in your life, a greater purpose. And there's nothing can stop God from achieving what he wants to achieve in a predestinated seed. He's going to make it come to pass. Just as that tree that he predestinated to be a great big oak. As we was walking through the woods last night and we leaned up on a great big old oak tree. It's bigger, so big around you couldn't get your arms around it. That one time that was just a little bitty acorn. But it's reached its predestination, what God said it would be. And oh my, how we can see that. And just for an example, we'll turn here to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. But each one of us, we've walked a different road and we've each been drawn to different ways into this where we are today.
Amen.
And many circumstances has affected our paths and for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to think of Paul here. God, as he's standing before King Agrippa, and I believe we'll start about the fourth verse. Yeah. He says, and Paul's speaking, he's answering him. And he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promises you 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Now Paul, following his religion the best that he could, he thought that was his purpose. He was looking at it from his perspective. He was a devout Pharisee. He was doing everything to the letter. Just right down the line. But God had a different plan for him. And sometimes we walk through life thinking we know what our purpose is and where we're headed. But God might just have a different plan for us. He might just have something. And that's why it doesn't matter how long I've been serving God. I should always be seeking him. Lord, what is that will and your purpose for me today?
Amen.
Because every day is there something new coming along. How does he, what's he want from us? What's he want to use us for? What's he want me to do for him this day? But as Paul, he says, and now I stand and am judged of the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought an incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, even compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto the strange cities, whereupon as I was sent to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. But at midday, O king, I saw the way of a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which were sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. And I want you to think of Paul, how it looked like his life was, oh, it was a shambles. He was already going totally the wrong direction. But God had called him and predestinated him for a purpose. And you know, Brother Branham, when he was here many times, he would say, I don't care if you're a housewife. If God called you to be a housewife, you'd be the best housewife you can be. If he called you to be a farmer, you'd be the best farmer that you can be. But God's main purpose was to have the full preeminence of a body of believers, that he could express himself back through that people, that they would, people would be able to see that he had the full control of their lives. Everything they would do would be controlled by his word, which is this word is laying in this Bible. And how many times maybe we've walked in our lives and we didn't take heed and maybe we didn't realize it, but God always has a special point to where he lets that light flash across our path. And you know, you can look at Moses. He tried to take them children of Israel out of Egypt by his own hand. He knew he was born to be a deliverer. He knew that he had been taught and trained up, that he had a purpose. But he couldn't do it till God showed him exactly where he was to stand and to how he was to do it. And Paul, here, when God flashed that purpose across, how his life changed, his ambitions, his drives, everything turned to match what God had purposed for him in his life. And how we can see each one of us, as we've seen God call us and draw us to him, how we can truly say we've seen our ambitions change. And our thoughts and our is coming in tune, as even Jesus said in I believe it was John, the 4th chapter, and about the 31st verse, when the disciples ask him, it's John 4, 31 to 34. Amen. Yeah. The disciples, it was after he had spoken to the lady at the well. And he said, and in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him meat to eat, ought to eat? And Jesus saith, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why he had been sent. It had been revealed to him. And as we gather in here and we hear this word, our purpose is opened up to us. God has made sure to enlighten us and show us the purpose for which we gather in under the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. And we sit and listen to, as many men call it, the foolishness of preaching. This soul should be saved. But we gather in under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God is here to speak to our hearts, to reveal his purpose and hidden plan to us. But you know, I wonder if we look into God's word, if we're seeing our purpose, or if we just think my purpose is just to be a churchgoer and I just gathered here tonight just to continue to pay my tithes and to help keep the lights on. But God has called each one of us to make sure that that life that he said would be reproduced would be showing forth through that little bride. Amen. And that word goes through so much more. My purpose as a father, as a husband, as a wife, whatever I may be, it doesn't stop. You know, God, Brother Branham showed us plainly the order in which our lives should be lived. God first, family second, we come last as each one. And how as we go through life and our purpose is being here as a Christian, being here as a father, our example and our leadership and our guidership to our homes. We have a purpose. Not just to be a father, he didn't give me children just to let me be a father. He gave me that to fulfill the scriptures of what a father would be to that children. And we know that we're the pastor of our home and that we're to lead and to guide and to direct. And as a mother, we're there doing the same thing. As a father's not there, we're pastoring our home. We're guiding and leading our children. That's that peace that God gave us here. And we can't slack off on that peace. No more than I can of coming in and making sure my duties at church are completed and doing all that I can for the kingdom that's here while we're here doing what we can do. But we've got a purpose we've been sent for. And that purpose doesn't just relax and, oh, I go to church now, that's my purpose. But our purpose in life is to make sure that God can fulfill every word that he said he would fulfill through our life. And our purpose is every day grow. It's always out there before us. Paul never lost sight of what God sent him to do. He traveled through many tough seas and many tough situations, many beatings, many things that beset him. But he was always focused that God had sent him for a reason. Yes, and he stayed focused to that. And that's what we must make sure that we keep our focus strictly on what God has sent us here to do and to be, that every word would be lived and manifested through our life. Don't lose sight of our goal, saints. As we sang the little song, just any day now he's coming and he'll be returning. And now each one of us have gathered and we've come in amongst this precious word. And God is he's showing us, son, come up a little bit higher. Maybe I've only been in this message 2 days. Maybe I've only been following Jesus Christ for 3 weeks. Maybe it's been 5 years. Maybe it's been 100 years. But there's always a higher height in Jesus Christ. Always a greater purpose for our lives to be lived out for him. And is it Moses never stopped to look back and say, well, I got him out of Egypt, now I'll just sit down. But he kept every day following that pillar of fire. Every night or every day following that cloud and every night following that pillar of fire, keeping his eyes on it, moving with it. And today that's the same way we're moving with this precious word. When God sees fit to lay the word down into our hearts, into our lives, whatever it may be, we pick it up humbly and say, Lord, let it be to me according to thy will. And we move forward with it and we see the fruits of that precious word taking effect in our lives, seeing God's purpose manifested out before us. living out through my life, your life. And that's what it's here for. I don't want to just see my brother see the purpose of God being lived in him, but I want to see it in me greater. I want to see my home, my everyday living, my life, everything reflecting Jesus Christ so greatly. That the spirit that I am creating, the atmosphere that's around me, is drawing people, not to me, but to Jesus Christ, that they can say there's something different about you. I can see you've got something. All this world can care about is its politics and its cosmos and its money and its wealth and its fame. But oh, we've got our eyes on something so much different. It don't matter what comes and goes down here, but we've been sent for the very purpose of making sure that Jesus Christ is first in our life. And that this precious word lives out through us. Yes. And that's our goal. It's not to be seen as a minister, not to be seen as a deacon or a song player or a singer in the church, but all that Jesus Christ could live every day, not just inside this building, but even on the streets that we walk upon. Yes. And in the secret dark places of our homes where no one is, yes, that Jesus Christ would be manifested and lived through us. Yes. But oh my, may that purpose really strike home in our hearts. There's still a work to be finished. We've been sitting here. It's not time for us to slow down and to calm down. And we've got the message. We're going to church daily. And brother, it's wonderful. But there still should be a press in our hearts that I was sent here for this purpose, to finish and to be caught away in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Oh my, that's what I'm looking for. If God's going to permit me to live and he saw that, I don't know. But that's our goal, is to be here and be ready for that moment. And if he takes us beforehand, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a joy it's going to be to cross over there. Oh my. But may our purpose reign within our hearts. We're just not here to fulfill a seed and to, oh, just, but God has brought each one of us to a place. There was a time I didn't know really what my purpose was in life. There was a time when I went to church because everybody else went to church. But there was a time God just dipped down in my heart, son, I got to work for you. You're just to be like me, not to be a minister, but just to follow me. Follow me and take up thy cross daily. Oh my, and that's what he's called each one of us to do. And as we're doing that, he might have something else that we do. Maybe we sing songs. Maybe we play instruments. Maybe we are deacons. Maybe we're lay members. Maybe we're workers at the church. Whatever it is he wants us to be. But through everything, God's purpose is fulfilled. And the life of Jesus Christ is expressed 100% through our lives. May that be the desire of our heart, is, Lord, am I fulfilling my purpose to the fullest? Am I doing everything to make sure, Lord, that I'm staying in tune with it? You know, we all like to hunt. We all like to fish. We like to farm. We've all got different hobbies, as our brother has mentioned it. But we must keep our focus on what we were sent for. And that sometimes we can't lose focus of that. Maybe I'm doing the best that I can, but what if my hunting or my fishing, for me, I like to really fish. What if my desire was to truly see if I could just be that professional fisherman and truly make that dollar out there on the lake, knowing that they have their tournaments every Sunday. They do all of their things every time that church is. But all know that God has placed a desire. It's, you see, even things that look right can be made wrong. And that's why we must make sure our purpose is for one thing, to be here and to hear this precious word. And all to be so in tune with what God wants us to be. And I pray, Lord, let me be one, Lord, that's burning through. Though no matter what, Lord, I want to be exactly in the center of your will, that you could take and have the full preeminence of my life. But oh my, you know, it's kind of like Brother Branham talked about that little eagle. Sometimes you get down there in the old barnyard and an eagle was running all around with those chickens. He really just didn't know. But oh, when that mother eagle screamed, there was something down already in the inside. It was, that's just like me up there. There's something drawing me to that. And oh my, how it is every time you hear God's word. There's something, it don't matter how long you've heard this precious word. Every time God's word comes forth, there's something down on the inside that just keeps reaching. That's got to be me. That's got to be me. It just keeps pulling you. And you can't help yourself. You may come in and God's word show you something you've been doing that was just really, really wrong. And something that is very displeasing to him. But there's something in you that makes you ashamed that that was in your life. But then there's something greater that's pulling you above that thing and taking you beyond it. And it's no more seen. God has a way of taking us every way. If he knows money means too much to us, he has a way of seeing that we don't have no money. If he sees that our home means too much, he sees a way of taking it away. God knows just exactly. If you're predestinated, it don't matter. He'll bring you the way. You know, thinking of Paul there, he's in his own self as he was going down that road. He probably felt like a pretty big man among them Pharisees. But you know, when God's light struck him and he got up off of there and he couldn't see no more, you know, he realized just how small he was. And oh my God, told him he had to work for him. He had no trouble then. He knew exactly where he was going. And his life proved out that he followed his example. But oh my, may our lives be a testimony. If time should go on and it would be written, may our names be able to be written into a book, just like Job, just like Abel, all the ones that you can read about, their testimony lived on beyond them. And oh, may that be truly what we see in our lives, that Jesus Christ would be glorified through our lives. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Some simple words. Amen. But you know, may it just create a stronger desire in our hearts. Says, Lord, let me be what you want me to be. You know, little Mary, 16 years old. Oh my, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her. Said, Mary, thou art highly favored. Oh my, you know, the world celebrates Christmas and gets all wound up with what they see. But if only they could truly see what Jesus Christ done when he come and laid down in that manger. And you know, you stop to think about the angels as they gathered around them shepherds upon the hill, and they told the shepherds. And then it says the heavenly host began to sing. I thought, oh my. Can you imagine what that sounded like? And all them shepherds following that star because God had pointed it out to them. They were the only ones that could see that star as they was following that. Think of that. But oh my, we realize and understand by grace why and where and why our Lord came. We truly see all these things have been vindicated and revealed to us to show us the truth. And oh, how grateful we ought to be and how thankful it ought to make us to realize that God has so graciously opened our eyes to the truth in this hour. Amen. Oh, let's all stand if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's just sing that little chorus. I've got so much to thank him for. Amen. You know, we just thank him. I see Brother Mike's with us tonight. We thank the Lord for touching him. Bringing him back to be with us, knowing God was with him the whole way. Amen. You know, it's so good to know. As we sang the little song, I know the master of the wind. Amen. It's good to know who he's right there with us all the way. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Amen. Help me, Brother Suttles.
So much to thank him for, so much to praise him for he has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to
something to thank him for. Amen. We ought to have a lot to thank him for what he's done for us. It's so such a blessing to be able to think and meditate upon the many blessings he's done for you. You know, I couldn't help but to think of this scripture as Brother Timothy brought his message this evening and how it just kind of sums it all together. You know, he says here in Ephesians, first chapter, fourth verse, according as he hath chosen us. And I just like you to just, as I've said many times, just take it personally to you, chosen you, okay? According as he hath chosen you, us, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now watch his purpose for us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood,
the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery. Think of that great mystery. Oh my. Of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. Oh my. See why we're here? Amen. It's for the purpose of him who worketh all things. All things. I don't care what it is in life. Whatever he does. All things after the counsel of his own will. And counsel is purpose also, you see. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, or the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Amen. And how, if we can see by grace his purpose working in our lives, oh, how we ought to be able to praise him and glorify him for all he's done for us. Amen. There's no reason you shouldn't be happy. No reason you shouldn't be thankful, you see. And yeah, you're going to have valleys. You're going to have mountains to climb at times. There's going to be things go wrong, problems, troubles, as I spoke on before. But we know he's the one that gives us the victory over it all. Amen. Don't you love him? It's so good to know where you're standing at in these last days when it's perilous times, dangerous times. But it's so good to know where you're standing. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's just been so good to listen to your word tonight as our brother brought it forth, and to be able to, by faith and through mercy and grace, because, Lord, it's nothing we could do, but, Lord, it's all by grace that we're saved, and mercy that you loved us, and how we greatly appreciate it. But, Lord, it's so good to hear these words and be an encouragement to us, Lord, and give us strength and cause something inside us to press on. Press on. And no wonder Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, there ought to be such a press in our heart, a desire burning to do everything you want us to do. Yes, it may be a cost to it. There might be a great price to pay at times. But, Lord, we know already you've given us what it's going to take to get there. Lord, we appreciate that. We pray now that you'll bless these precious people and watch over them, and just keep them safe, Lord, as they travel home. And Lord, if you should tarry till Sunday, Lord, give us, Lord, mercy and grace to be here and provide the way for us that, Lord, again, we could be here, that we may sit around your precious table, your word, Lord, and keep growing, Lord, and keep growing and keep growing until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the unity of the faith. Oh, God, grant it now. In your holy, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. It's been good to be here.
Yes,
amen. Not only to gather around the word and to be in fellowship with you people and to love the word as it came forth, but I got a break tonight. Amen. So I thank Brother Timothy for doing that for us. You know, and I want to thank you, brothers. And you know, a lot of times, like Brother Timothy, maybe some of you people don't realize it, but he puts a lot of time in doing things out here, you know? And I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Because I remember a time I did that. And I want to give him roses and time I appreciate it. Because I'd done it for years and was not appreciated. And never was told thank you many times. Never the first time, you know? And I'd be there maybe till 10, 11 o'clock at night working. Get up next morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, get ready to go to work and be at work at 4. And get 2-3 hours of sleep at night, but work at church day in, day out, night after night. Yeah. So I appreciate a man that will take and lay aside his things personal things in life and does things for the Lord. He's not doing it for me. He's not doing it for you. He's doing it for the Lord, you see. So we appreciate that. And any other brothers that help in doing those things, I'm sure God will bless you. I'm sure he will. I know he blessed me in times past when I do that. And he still blesses me in the things that we do. So we appreciate it. God's mindful of us. Amen. You know, but like I said, I feel it's our responsibility to pass the, you know, blessings and the, you know, encouragement and appreciation, words of appreciation when we should. Amen. I love all you people. Amen. May God bless you now as you're dismissed. And just sing a little chorus as you're leaving. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for he has been so good.